Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Thanks for joining us. My name's Jack. I write for Avoiding the Drop, and this is the Dropcast as we are here on World Cup Decision Day. I've got with me Mike Georgia and Illustrated Example to talk about the rather stunning results from today's Decision Day from FIFA. And so I'm sure everybody knows, I'll just go over it very quickly. We'll talk about things and try to hash some of this out. So 2018, which was slated to be essentially in Europe, the main participants there, the ones that were the favorites, Russia, who was awarded to 2018, England, and then the Iberian Peninsula, which Spain and Portugal. And then, of course, the shock of the day, 2022, which the United States was part of the group that was bidding on it. It came down to the final vote, according to everybody that I've read on Twitter today. The final vote was between the United States and the tiny Arab nation of Qatar. And the vote went to Qatar, and they were awarded the 2022 World Cup. So, I obviously was shocked at that one specifically, not as much at Russia, but I figured we'd talk about the Qatar decision first. Mike, I'll let you go first on your thoughts on it, and then Adam, you can go next.
I think it's a shame, honestly. I understand the merits of the decision to give Qatar the World Cup, based on the concept of, it's a novel idea, bringing the game to the Middle East and having it in the Arab world. You know, that is important. Those are legitimate points. I don't exactly think those had anything to do with why it was awarded to them. But the main reason I think it's a shame, and this is going to sound bad, and I'm sorry to get political, but there's no business for this country to be hosting a tournament of this kind. I didn't get into this in the post that I wrote the other day, mainly because I was just kind of hoping against hope that I would have to bring it up, really. But I mean, this is still a theocratic monarchy. They have women the right to vote, but it's a monarchy. They are horrific towards sexual minorities, which to me is just a huge slap in the face by FIFA, especially on the back of the comments from, was it the Czech or Croatian FA president who a few weeks ago made a comment about not wanting homosexuals in the game. But, for all the FIFA stop racism things that they put out, their efforts towards stopping homophobia in football are basically non-existent. And at this point, they clearly don't care. You are still imprisoned in Qatar if you are caught engaging in consensual same-sex activities, and they do it to foreigners. So I kind of see that being an issue. 10 to 20% of the world's population should not go to Qatar at all, let alone for the World Cup. But, I think it's kind of, I think FIFA should be taking a progressive stance on things, especially given the amount of, a lip service, at least, that they put into anti-racism. But, this is, what was it, 3 years ago that I think David James wrote an article for The Guardian about why, how there are gay footballers, but they can't come out. This is not going to help things. I mean, I think it's just, I think politically and based on human rights, there's no reason for this. I think it's honestly worse than Beijing being awarded the Olympics, because at least Beijing, it's China. China was going to, they could do anything, basically, that they put their minds to as far as, infrastructure development goes, when they want to. But I actually think this is worse just because I think that this is different in that this isn't a developing. I mean, it's an incredibly wealthy country. Depending on which measure you use, it's either the first or second most, the highest per capita GDP in the world. But at the same time, they have a really terrible forced labor issue. And, I mean, the U.S. government has been, you know, up in arms several times about the fact that, you know, Qatar gets people from other countries to come work, offering these high paying jobs, and they get them there, don't pay them much, don't let them leave. I just think that given the chance, FIFA really blew it, because I don't see this helping any of the issues surrounding actual social issues that are tied to the game. And I think it's, I think it's insulting, honestly. But I'll leave the actual logistical issues of the tournament for the sec to, you guys can talk about that. But that's my spiel on why this really irritates me. Just, I think it's ridiculous that this country is being rewarded with the World Cup when they are terrible to a substantial proportion of the human population. This is a whole moral relativism issue, but to me, screw them. I have no interest in going there at this point. I hope it's a massive failure. I honestly hope that this kills FIFA. That's the way I think about it.
Adam.
Outside of issues Mike touched on, I mean, one of the big things that's been talked about is the fact that it's something like 105 degrees on average in July in Qatar. And I know they've talked about air conditioning the stadiums and whatnot, but it's just a matter of, I mean, is it going to cool it down enough? Is that technology actually going to work, or is it going to, you know, just not come through? And I guess, I mean, there's obviously plenty of ways to test it with, you know, friendlies and whatnot, but it's just one of those things that when it's actually in practice, it could be a disaster, and have guys playing, you know, at least 3 games and then possibly like 6 or 7 in that heat, it could severely...
It could be deadly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could see someone fall down on the pitch and certainly wouldn't be a plus or anything. So that's the most interesting thing to me. It's also, I mean, it doesn't seem like an easy, super easy place to get yourself to if you're anywhere outside of that area. And so that'll be interesting. But yes, certainly kind of a blow, I think, to the possibility. I think one of the things a lot of the people, especially on Twitter, a lot of the Americans were probably upset about is a lot of them are in my age range, like 25 to 30, and, you know, saw the World Cup when we were, like, I don't know, 10 to 15 in this country and, you know, wanted to go, obviously, unless you were lucky and lived in one of those cities, couldn't. And now you're, I mean, you're able to, but not in your backyard, which is certainly kind of a kick in the stomach to some people. So,
yeah, I mean, Europe's going to have 3 World Cups before we have another one. So, if I'm counting right. Yeah, because France, Germany, Russia. So, you know, 3 before it's again, before it's on this continent. At this point, I mean, with the exception of Australia, you know, CONCACAF is kind of getting screwed. So I guess we'll get it in 2026 at this point. But, you know, I'm going to be old at that point. I was 11 for the first one. I mean, and even if I lived in one of the cities, I'm positive my father would not have... Everyone in my family hates soccer. But I remember watching it. So, I mean, that was the first one I remember. And having to wait, if I could do my math, 32 years? I'll be in my mid-40s at that point. You know, that's not going to be quite the same. So it is, you know, it's disappointing for us in that, you know, I'm trying to be neutral about this. But for 2022, nobody could touch our bid, as far as I'm concerned. Because nobody could touch the ease of the infrastructure. I mean, none of the actual stadiums needed to be built. Some of them were new stadiums for NFL teams, but none of them were going to have to be built strictly for the tournament. The hotels are built. The infrastructure is built. I mean, we've had, 2 Olympics since then, both of them successful. You know, Olympic Park bombing aside. I don't think you can really hold that against it. But, you know, and we've had another Olympics in Canada since then, and that was also successful. It's irritating that, you know, it was the decision that made sense was to award it to the U.S. I mean, because honestly, you look at the stadiums, and again, 94 still holds the record for tickets sold and for people who actually attended the matches. And nobody's going to touch that. You know, it's not going to happen. And we would crush that record if we had it again because of the bigger stadiums in Dallas and in New York that are being built. But, you know, it is disappointing that, you know, now we're going to have to, you know, if FIFA is actually interested in growing the popularity of the sport in this part of the world, being, you know, America, they're not exactly making it easier. You know, somebody said it today, we're not going to get one until we win one, which at that point, you know, if we won one of these two, if we won the one in Qatar, that would be outstanding. But, you know, somebody pointed it out, the Fans Attic pointed it out that it is incredibly humid there, which I didn't realize when I wrote the post. I just assumed because it was a desert, it wasn't humid, because the experience I have in the desert in July is from living in Sicily. And that wasn't very humid. And I'm sure Kevin could attest to the lack of humidity in Las Vegas during much of the summer. I mean, desert heat by itself isn't that bad, but I mean, it's incredibly muggy there, and temperatures between 105 and 120. And the cooling technology for within the stadiums does work, apparently. It's actually a pretty crafty solar power thing, but not everyone who goes to the tournament is going to the games. I mean, people congregate outside the stadiums. It's going to be dangerous. And I honestly don't have any interest in subjecting myself to that when I'm in my mid-30s, or my late-30s at that point, I guess. So, you know, I the more I thought about it today, the less interest I had in actually going there, which is a shame, because for an event like this, for the World Cup or for the Olympics, people should not be dissuaded about attending it based on the location. You know, we should have gotten past that after the end of the Cold War, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, if people are concerned about South Africa, and luckily that went off relatively without a hitch. I still have my doubts about Brazil, just with the crime issues there. But, you know, for FIFA to not actually take some of these things into consideration, which I'm sorry, they did not take it. The amount of votes that Qatar got in the through the balloting process, it's clear that nobody cared about any of the issues. And, you know, and I'm making assumptions here, but, you know, I feel that's a pretty safe assumption. They were not actually going on logistical concerns. But, you know, again, it's not surprising. And, you know, I still question what's going to change, because if, you know, there was obviously bribery involved in this process, the entire bidding process. And, you know, if nothing is going to change based on this, nothing is going to change. When Blatter dies or steps down or whoever takes his place, which, let's be honest, it's going to be Platini. I mean, it has to be, unless he's dead by then, which he won't be. I mean, he's not going to be much better. They're two of a kind. There's too much money to be made in this that I really don't think anybody is going to be able to. I don't think we're going to see the kind of changes we saw in the IOC. The only way I think it'll happen is if several of the countries threaten a boycott and threaten to basically leave FIFA, which I don't know if that's actually happened in the past. I mean, other than like small countries over political issues, but I could see England throwing a complete fit about this, or, you know, the process in general, and rightfully so. So, you know, I'm kind of interested in what the fallout's going to be, but the cynic in me, and I guess the pragmatist in me, I don't think a damn thing's going to change, and I think we're going to be stuck with this kind of thing for a long time.
Yeah, I we were having a bit of a chat before you got on, and we were talking about some of the reaction that came out on Twitter, you know, directly after the bid was announced, the winning bid was announced, and you know, I sort of felt like, you know, in regards to the United States, you know, I'm not 100% sure that a lot of people realize in this country that they are not as well loved around the world as they seem to think they are, because it seemed like there was a lot of reaction to this particular incident as being like, you know, it almost bordered on like xenophobia. Now, and again, I'm not having to go because people's raw reactions are put on Twitter, and it is what it is. Sometimes you say things, and then you think about it later, and it's
no. I mean, I saw it too. Yeah.
And so, you know, I agree 100% that this country is the best choice for that particular World Cup, without question and without fail. The infrastructure here, the ability to put the matches on at a time that will work for Europe and other, you know, major countries around the world for them to be able to watch the matches, that's a big deal. You know, we match up well. We even match up well with, like, China and Australia because, you know, they're just, you know, basically 12 hours to 15 hours ahead of us, so they would be watching the next day. But, I mean, it's not like we're in a bad spot for that. Obviously, we have plenty of TV facilities, et cetera, et cetera. We were the best choice, but, you know, the fact that we did not get it, the United States did not get it, it sort of left, I felt like it left a lot of people wondering, you know, why we weren't chosen, because we are the best at this sort of thing. And I grant you that I think, you know, when you look at the way the United States puts on any event of that magnitude, be it the Olympics, be it a World Cup, be it, you know, coordinated events across this country at the same time. I mean, when you think about what has to go in to just putting on a New Year's celebration in the middle of Times Square with that many people, and it usually comes off without a hitch. I mean, this country knows how to, for the most part, secure itself during events. It's safe. We were the choice. I'm not going to sit here and say that there wasn't backroom shenanigans. I think there probably was. You know, the fact that Gulati basically comes right out and says, you know, there was odd voting patterns, et cetera, they're laying the footwork, you know, basically to say we were robbed. I get it. You know, they feel like this didn't go their way for political reasons, and it is what it is with that. There's not a whole lot you can do. But I think in terms of the issues with Qatar, the heat issues, the human rights issues, I wonder sometimes what FIFA thinks about when these decisions come into play, because whether or not, you know, the people at FIFA or the people that are on that committee that make these votes care about the United States or don't like the United States' political situation or don't like how we, you know, this country goes out and is very active in the world and has a lot of enemies, etc. If that comes into play, fine, it is what it is. But, you know, when you look at just the actual feasibility of putting on an event here as opposed to putting on an event in a country that's now going to have to start building stadiums in order to be able to make it to 2022, and I'm sure they will make it to 2022 with their stadiums, but, you know, you have to question, like, why not just have one of these World Cups where you don't have to have inspectors in there for the 3 years in the run-up to the World Cup to make sure that stadiums are built, to make sure that roads are built, to make sure that there's infrastructure and that the crime isn't going insane, that people can, you know, have a nice hotel room where they feel safe and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's what I don't get. This Russia's one thing. I'm sure they'll be able to pull it off. They usually do. Their economy is rebounding. It's not great. Ours is in the state that it is, but I just do not, for the life of me, I do not understand from an infrastructure point of view how this could have gone this way. I do not understand it one bit, and that's the real shame of it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we could talk about the England thing. I'm obviously disappointed. I felt like, you know, all the issues with England usually come down to things that don't actually mean that much in my world. I mean, I'm concerned about, you know, do we have the stadiums to put it on? Do we have the television ability to do it? Do we have hotels, motorways, you know, transport for the people that are trying to go to the matches? We have all that. England has all that, just like, you know, America does. But I mean, obviously there's other things concerned with England where you have all this off-the-pitch stuff. I mean, I don't know how much some of the shenanigans of the players may have come into play here and all the press, et cetera. I don't know. I'm disappointed. I'm upset about that one. I'm upset about America. But, you know, ultimately I just hope, you know, I guess I hope for the best with these tournaments. You know, you hope nobody gets hurt and it turns out okay, but.
Yeah, when I say I hope it's a failure, I don't hope anybody dies. I just hope that they can't actually pull it off and it reverts to Russia. That would be great. I mean, I think the only time that's ever happened was with Colombia and Mexico. But, you know, there were thoughts that it might happen with South Africa. It could still happen with Brazil. But, you know, something bad needs to happen to reflect on FIFA's. If no changes are made, something catastrophic needs to happen without loss of human life. That will put FIFA basically under the microscope. But I actually kind of take issue with that, with your assessment of the reaction of Americans. Not that I didn't see it, but I don't think that our state in the world right now had anything to do with it. Because otherwise, I don't think we would have gotten past the three other bids. Because, I mean, honestly, it's not that, I mean, I don't like that Qatar got it, but it's not that Qatar got it over us. I said that, but I mean, it's that Qatar was not the second most suited for this. Japan or South Korea would have been better, I think, but I'm not a huge fan of either one of those having it so soon after 2002. But Australia was a much better choice than Qatar, and I think Australia was second to us, honestly. No, not in the voting, but I mean, second to us as far as merit goes. And I wouldn't have had issue if Australia had gotten it, because they hadn't had one. They have had massive success with international tournaments this decade, or this century, with Rugby World Cup, Aussie Rules, with the Olympics, and with Commonwealth Games too. So, you know, they have the ability to do it. I think that, you know, I actually saw a lot of people who hate soccer and basically who are using this as a reason to both dump on us and dump on the government. We're saying it's like, well, you know, this is just the world giving a big, you know, middle finger to us. It's like, no, it's not. We would not have gotten through three stages of voting, two stages, but come in second. And it wasn't a blowout. I mean, we got a lot of support. And I think we do probably feel like we deserved it. But based on the numbers and based on our success with having one, you know, we did deserve it. But it's a matter of, did we deserve it over Australia? I think that that's a wash, honestly. But I honestly do not think anyone can make a compelling argument for how Qatar deserved it, honestly, over anyone else in the group. And on the plus side, I guess this means that China can't get 2026, but, no slight to China, just that, you know, it's basically got to be either us or Australia at that point, you think, or maybe Mexico again. But I don't think actual like global politics came into this really, because I just based on the voting, I don't really see that being an issue. I actually kind of thought it was interesting in our presentation yesterday in Zurich, which was god awful horrendous, and I think most people agree with that. But when Clinton got up there and started talking, one of the things he brought up was basically, a lot of this world is alive because of us, and you owe it to us, which I kind of thought was a funny point to make, but it's also, you know, it is kind of true to an extent in certain places. So, you know, I thought that was a smart move on their part. That was one of the few smart moves on USSF's part, was focusing on the fact of the good things that we do in the world. Because I think we have gotten away a bit from the negative image. I mean, if this process had happened 4 years ago, I would absolutely think that it was a political thing if we got, you know, if we finished last in the bidding. But I'm not saying that it's corruption because of sour grapes about us getting it. I'm saying it's corruption because of the fact that a country that has no business getting it got it, and the fact that the corruption has been exposed to an extent at this point. I mean, what was the number that was thrown around for how much Zidane was going to get if they got the bid? Like if they received it was like £15 million or $15 million, and that's a legal payoff. I mean, that's legal compensation. Imagine how high the bribes were. I mean, one of the numbers I saw thrown around somewhere on the BBC was like £90 million to one guy, and that is absurd. But you know, if I were in that situation, I'd be selling my vote to the highest bidder too. So, I think it was more internal politics than external with us. And I don't think it was – I guess I should put it this way. I don't think the fact that the United States lost the bid was a slight to – or was meant as a slap to the United States. I think it was to England, absolutely, considering that they came in last behind – I mean, aside from the fact that Blatter came out and said a joint bid wasn't going to win before – and they finished behind two joint bids, one of them which really had no chance. I mean, they only got two votes. That is ridiculous. And it's hard to sit here and say that if the Panorama thing hadn't gone the way it did, or if all the British media doing what they did, which, again, I think was the absolute right thing to do. I know people are getting on them about it. Like some of the journalists that I follow on Twitter from the UK have been criticizing the BBC for doing this. And, you know, it's like it's their job. It is the media's job to report the news. And corruption in the bidding process for the biggest sporting event in the world is news. And if you sit on that, you're basically violating the trust of the job you have. So I don't think anybody should be upset with them for doing it. I mean, but I understand why they are, but I just think it's misplaced. But, I mean, if I were I didn't think England was going to get it, but I didn't think they were going to get shit out the way they did. And I think the English should be a lot more pissed off than we should be right now. Not because of the merits of losing it, because of how they lost. Because honestly, I can't really quibble with Russia getting it as a neutral, you know, just Russia getting the World Cup. I don't have a problem with. But over England, again, I kind of see that as a comparison between us and Australia. It's like we know both countries could do it. But at the same time, Australia could do it and Russia could do it, and they haven't had it yet. So, you know, it could be their time. And at the same time, at least Russia, you know, before they got bumped out of qualification for South Africa by Slovenia, they were, you know, they're a lot better off in the soccer world than they were, you know, 10 years ago. They have had better success in Europe with some of the club teams. They've gotten some higher profile players to come in, and they did really well in the Euros. So they are a respectable, you know, a respectable national team. Qatar are not. And I personally, you know, I remember with going into South Africa, there were talks from some people saying we need to reanalyze the automatic qualification. And I think you're going to see that a lot with this, because this is going to be one of the worst ever teams to play in the World Cup. Unless there are a like genetically engineered generation of super freak players that they've created in Qatar that are like 5 years old right now, but they wouldn't qualify. I mean, they wouldn't be in this tournament. And I kind of don't like when that happens, because I think it takes away from, it basically keeps a more deserving team out. And I think that's another issue that they're going to have to look at, is whether or not to like, and you should at least have a threshold of ranking to meet. Because I think there's something like, what, 104th right now? There needs to be a better way. We can't reward them for everything. That's basically the way I'm looking at it. But, if we don't win 2022, I hope that some of these younger players coming up in Israel are really talented and Israel wins. Because that would be hilarious, considering Qatar does not recognize the existence of Israel. No comment on that. But they've said, you know, well we're going to allow them to play. How nice of you. You don't recognize these people's existence, but you're going to let them play in your tournament if they qualify. But I just think that, you know, with England again, you guys should be a lot angrier about this. And I, not to say I haven't seen the anger, but your anger shouldn't be none of the anger should be directed within. It should be directed outward. And, and honestly, I didn't think Russia was going to be the corrupt one. From what I was reading, I thought that Spain and Portugal were the ones buying all the votes. So I was actually surprised that Russia got it, because I figured it was a lock for Spain and Portugal. So I was actually I was glad that Russia got it, not at the expense of England, but just glad that they got it over Spain and Portugal. So, yeah.
Yeah, and back to Mike's point about Australia. I do agree that, I mean, over, you know, if it was going to be anyone out of that, Australia probably deserved it. I mean, it's similar to the U.S. in that, you know, there's not any really concerns of danger And I mean, it's a country that's like sports and, you know, it's somewhere that hasn't gotten it, which is, I mean, it's pretty obvious that that's what they're trying to do, at least a little bit, is give it to countries that have not had World Cups. And I thought that would have been one of the ones that would have gotten it. And also on the point about Qatar getting in before the pod, me and Jack were talking about that. And yeah, I mean, they're going to be placed in the top pot and, you know, in Group A. So, you know, the other three teams, I mean, yeah, again, unless they have just a generation of super freaks coming up, which I can't really see, it's going to be three teams battling for that, the two spots in that group, which just seems a little unfair.
Yeah, I mean, like, at least South Africa, I mean, they played well. I mean, especially considering the difficult teams that were in their group. I was incredibly impressed with them in the tournament. Them and New Zealand were the two teams that impressed me the most, and people were dumping on New Zealand the entire time too, but they had to go through their qualification. Like, they had to beat Bahrain in a playoff, which was a hell of a game, and, you know, they put up a good fight in the tournament. But I just, you know, it kind of bugs me that it's one of the big angles as well. This helps to develop the game in that part of the world. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, we haven't seen this. They've had the game for not as long as a lot of the other people, but we haven't seen the breakthrough from any of those countries. We've seen it in the Arab world, but not outside of Africa. I mean, we've seen Egypt and Algeria both, success within Africa, within the Cup of Nations, but also they have been, or Algeria, I mean, they put up a good fight as well in the World Cup. So I think it's, you know, it's kind of, it's like, yeah, you have to develop it, but, you know, you kind of, I think there's a degree of earning it too. And which is probably exactly what people were saying when we got the 94 bid, because we didn't exactly have a great track record the few years leading up to that. But, you know, now I think we would deserve it now more than we did in 94, but, yeah, it just kind of, I don't like anything about the selection. Just the more I think about it, the more problems I see with it, and the less I think that this was a legitimate decision. But, you know, and like I said, I wanted 2018 to go to the Benelux bid, but, you know, that was never going to happen. And I again would have been more angry if Portugal and Spain had gotten it, because Portugal had the most recent tournament of anyone. And they're having the Euros in 2004. So I think that 2018 was okay, but the whole process, just there has to be some sort of reform that comes out of this. But again, I don't think there will be. And, you know, I think that, like, I think I made the comparison yesterday, like, when the U.S. was giving their pitch, which, again, terrible, but it didn't matter. That didn't matter at all. Like, that could have been the best pitch ever, which I don't know what, I mean, I guess that would just be hookers covered in $100 bills walking out for FIFA standards. But, you know, the actual process of when we're up, you know, when Galati and when Clinton, everyone were up there talking, and then the comparison, it was like, you know, a clean college basketball program pitching their program to a recruit when they already knew that John Calipari had given this guy a check to come to Kentucky, because that was what it seemed like. It seemed like we were, I had like a defeated attitude when we got up there. Nobody really seemed excited about it. It's kind of almost insulting that the whole pretense of everything, all the spectacle, because none of it mattered. If any of those things yesterday actually played a part, I would be shocked. I just, the process, like, I don't remember the process for the previous two bids at all, really. I mean, I know I remember it happening, but I wasn't paying attention to it like I was now. And I just think that it's really disheartening, especially, and I keep bringing it back to our angle, but when they have been trying to develop the sport so much here, and we have seen slow success in it, both on the actual national team level and in the interest. I think that this is on a neutral standpoint, not related to any of the other countries, I think this is actually a blow for soccer in the U.S. Because having a World Cup to plan for, and then having it here, and you know, you never know how good we would be at that point. But I think that could have been as big of a step, because honestly, you think it's 12 years from now, but does, you know, 98 France really seem like, you know, complete distant from this point? It's like some of those players are still around. So, you know, and some of them have cadaver ligaments like Michael Owen, but, you know, I think that this could have been bigger for us. Like, I think the development potential for us is bigger than it was for Qatar. And I think the same goes for Australia. I mean, Australia has been trying to push their, the A-League, and it, you know, it has struggled, but you know, they kind of are trying to go the same route that, that we are, where they try to bring in some older successful players like Robbie Fowler, and who, you know, essentially scores for fun there. But I just think that, you know, it was a post up on Deadspin today, which it was like, it was just a picture of the center of Doha, and it was like pandemonium excitement in the streets of Doha. And then it's just a picture of like 100 people scattered around with like a big screen in the middle showing the bid like selection, and nobody's looking at it. Nobody cared. I mean, it's for all of the pomp that Blatter made out about how this is going to be huge for relations between the Arab and Western world, they don't seem to care. I'm sure they're just interested in any money that's going to come from it, and not them being FIFA and Qatar. But I don't really see, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the interest was there to justify giving it to them. Which again, probably similar things that were said when we were given 94. But, you know, I don't exactly see 16 years from now Qatar making it into the making it deep into the tournament and taking out the defending, you know, European champions in the Confederations Cup. But you know, who knows? It could happen. But nothing. I don't like anything about this whole process right now, and I'm clearly pretty pissed off about it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I would say that I am. I'm like I said, I'm upset for both, you know, England and the United States. I feel like it's sort of a bad day for a number of different reasons. Two things, and then I need to wrap up because I actually have to go. One, I don't know if everybody saw this or not. I know, Adam, I think you may have. Mike, I don't know if you did. But our good friend Landon Donovan put up a tweet just a short while ago, where he said that he feels that the United States should play the Qatari national team, who are ranked, by the way, 113 in the world, friendly. They can host it, and the winner gets the 2022 World Cup. Now, I will say this. I think that is a very bad thing to have done. I think he probably wrote that without really thinking about what he was saying and how he was going to look, or if he did think about it at all, it doesn't make him look very good. Carlos Bocanegra's sort of conciliatory tweet after this whole thing happened was much more professional, much more civilized, and I don't want to read too much into it. I think Landon probably flew a long way. I know he's been doing a lot since the MLS ended, and I'm sure he's quite exhausted from this process. So I'm sure that he didn't mean any malice by it, and I don't think he means to come off looking relatively stupid, but that was a sort of a stupid thing to tweet.
I should probably be following him. I didn't even think about that, but I didn't see that. But I think, you know, again, it's stupid and he shouldn't have said it. But that, like, I have not been a big fan of him for a long time. I mean, when he's playing for the national team, yes, but he kind of, I'm not a big fan of the pretty boys in the game, and I obviously not a fan of Beckham, so I kind of lump them together. But except I think he's actually done better for his national team. But that, I actually think it's hilarious. I think that's I think it's you know, it's bad that he said that, but I take it back when I said it didn't, you know, everything bad I've said about him, I take back, because the fact that he was that pissed off about it makes me happy.
Yeah. So that's one thing. The other thing is there was a lot of talk, and you guys were bringing it up about Australia. And I wanted to just say this. I think that Australia absolutely should have received consideration and been a one of the favorites. I think Australia definitely has the capabilities, the facilities, the infrastructure, etc., to run one of these tournaments at the highest level. And I don't doubt for one second that they would have done a very good job. It's a bit of a shame now that the way this whole thing shook out. I mean, I there's talk now that China may still be able to bid for 2026. I don't really know exactly how that's going to work. I mean, I think they would have to put in some sort of waiver to their rotation system if that was going to be the actual case. But there was a lot of talk this morning that, you know, the bids from Japan and South Korea and that area were going to be nullified because FIFA was so interested in having 2026 be in China. So I'm not 100% sure how this whole thing's going to work. If they still want to try to shuttle 2026 to China, I guess they would have to sort of change their own rules or bend them a bit. I'm not 100% sure, but
I mean, they could just redo the continental classifications for it. I mean, they could make the Middle East its own continent for the purposes of it, which honestly would probably be smart to, you know, but and not necessarily break up the AFC, but for the purposes of the bids, I mean, because, you know, Qatar and South Korea have a lot less in common than, you know, the United States, Canada, and Central America. So I could see, you know, there is a legitimate argument behind that, but I'm sure if FIFA wants China, and if China wants a World Cup, FIFA will find a way to get it to them.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I need to get moving. So I will ask for last thoughts today. Adam, actually, we'll start with you. Last thoughts. Anything you wanted to get out there before we sign off?
Not really, actually. I think Mike covered most of a lot of what I was feeling over this whole thing. So, I mean, and it's one of those things, too, you know, we've got quite a bit of time till either one of these happens, so it'll be interesting to see what goes on in that, you know, 8 to 12 years that both of these World Cups go on.
I agree. It's going to be very interesting. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I just actually got sent something by one of my associates on Twitter. It's an article on CNN, and I just posted up on the ATD Twitter account. It's an article from James Montague, or Montague or Montague, I forget how it's pronounced, the guy who wrote When Friday Comes, Football and Warzone, and it's praising Qatar, how they got how they want it, and he praises the democratization and liberalization of Qatar, and I think CNN can go to hell, because this is one of the most insulting articles I've read in a long time, and if anybody read it and just, you know, when they brought in the picture at the top is Maradona with a traditional garb on with some of the Qatar guys, and it's so irritating that people are actually ignoring some of these issues and pretending that this is a legitimate process. The fact that it's coming from the media is disgusting to me, because I think they're just completely dumping on the entire purpose of being in the media, and they're blowing it, and I'm ashamed of them.
Yeah, I retweeted that myself. For those of you listening who, if you don't follow us on Twitter, our main account is at avoid the at symbol and then avoiding the drop, all one word. So you can find that article that Mike was just talking about on a link that he posted just a few minutes ago. So if you're looking for it, just go into our list of tweets from at avoiding the drop, and you'll find it. It's quite astonishing. I'm reading it now. Okay. Hopefully, the next time we do one of these, we'll have some happier subjects to talk about, and it won't be this much sort of negative energy on this. But I thank both of you for finding the time today, and I'm sure there's going to be a raft to talk about this everywhere. But for those of you listening, thank you very much. We certainly appreciate your time. And I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
All right. Thank you.